My children, I have called you together to raise the voice, not a voice, but the voice. I have planted you where I have planted you, and as your voices raise together, no matter where you are located, you shall raise the voice that gets my attention, that gets me to answer your prayers.
Hallelujah.
Raise your voice together,
yes,
separately, where you
yes
are.
Amen.
You do not need another because I am with you.
Amen.
But I call upon you wherever you go, wherever you are, whatever your situation, raise the voice that I have given you for this day.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Wow, it is exciting to be here. I am so grateful to be back in, is this Brussels?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm back. Amen. In Brussels, and to see the church again and to hear the bell ringing brings back memories of being here several years ago. And so I'm thankful to be amongst the people of God. It's been a while, but I am here in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we just thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for the leaders of this house. Amen. Pastor Tom and Sister Darlene, we appreciate them. We thank God for the host guests as well as Pastor Raymond Reed and his wife. We appreciate you to all of those that have helped with all the things that are doing, that we're doing and have going on. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thank God for Prophet Monique being with me on this weekend, all the way from Kentucky. Amen. I think a couple of the people had to leave and go back to Chicago, but Pastor Rashawn did a phenomenal teaching yesterday on the Holy Spirit, and just thankful that they took time to be with us to worship on yesterday. How many was blessed on last night? Oh, wow. It was heavenly. God did some amazing things. To the point, when I got back to the hotel, I was exhausted, and I still feel it, amen, but I am here in Jesus' name, and I have some more that I want to release and download on today. I have known Pastor Tom and Sister Darlene for almost close to 20 years. I have known them, and from Pastor B. Lamont's Mom B. And just coming here, it brought back being here. It brought back so many memories. Tears was going to flood my eyes because you can't help but think about Mom B and just all of the times that we've had in fellowship. And I'm not going to talk too much about it because I'm a crybaby. And so when I start talking about it, I get teary-eyed. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful because this is family. This is my family. Yeah, you didn't know they had a black brother, right? Amen. But it's family, and we've had some awesome times together with you and the family, all of us coming together. I've been on the four-wheelers and golfing and all of that with you all, and I'm just thankful to be here once again. But I want to share some things that the Lord has placed in my heart. But because I'm such a preacher and teacher and have so much I want to say, I just want to finish a little bit of what I said on last night and then go into what I want to say next. So I'm kind of going to give you two messages, but I'm timing myself because I know we have food downstairs, and I know that on Sunday people want you to hurry up, just like My church do me. They like, you're going over. So I'm going to try to stay within the lines. But I want to say some things because we were talking about the glory of the Lord on last night and how the glory of God was coming, that we was going to experience the glory. I was talking about on last night that we have experienced a glory shortage, a glory shortage. The Bible said we have all sinned and have come short of the glory of the Lord. But we're coming now into a time where the glory of the Lord is coming back to our churches, is coming back to the earth. How many is ready to receive that glory? It's coming back. And so in 2 Corinthians, I want to read this quickly again. It says, but we all with open face beholding, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And some of the things I want to share quickly about this glory thing is that the glory that we are coming into, it demands process. It demands process. In order to move into another glory or an intensifying glory or in another degree of glory, you have to go through a process. The Lord began to deal with me and said, the church, the remnant, as he was talking just a minute ago about the remnant, has been processed for an intensifying glory, for a greater degree of glory that is going to be released for the body of Christ. And so right now, in between glories is transition. In between glories is process. But in this new glory that we are going to experience and will experience and we are starting to experience, it demands that we have all been processed correctly. Because if you have not been processed, if you have not gone through the correct process to receive this glory, it'll take you out. You've got to be ready for what is being released now in this earth. Let me say it again. You've got to be ready for what is now going to be released in this earth. And it is the kabod of God. It is the weight of God. It is the majesty of God. It is the splendor of God that is going to fill the earth. And in Habakkuk, let me read this quickly. In Habakkuk, and I didn't say this last night, Pastor Tom, he said it as I was walking out, and it was in my notes, but I wasn't able to read it because I just got caught up in the moment. But in Habakkuk 2, verse 14, it says this, For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let me read it again. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It did not say that the earth shall be covered with the glory of the Lord. It didn't say that. We always say that the earth shall be covered with the glory of the Lord. It says, no, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It just won't cover the earth with the glory. We're going to see the earth covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, what is knowledge? Knowledge is not head knowing. It's not intellect. The word knowledge in the Hebrew is yada, which means to know. To know. But it doesn't mean to know intellectually. It doesn't mean to know from your thinking capacity. It means to know intimately. Adam knew Eve. Adam yada Eve. Adam knew her intimately. He just didn't know her intellectually. He knew her intimately. To know someone intimately means that you yada, that you have a knowing and an intimacy that is beyond the head knowledge. Into me. God says the whole earth will be filled with the intimacy, the knowing of the glory of the Lord. There are people that God is raising up that are going to have an intimate, passionate relationship with Him, and they're going to be carriers or walking tabernacles of the glory of God. And the people of God that have a knowing, intimate relationship are going to fill the earth as the glory of the water fills the, as the water covers the sea. That's how you are, the people of God. You are going to become tabernacles of God's presence all over the earth. I see glory clouds all over the world. I see the presence of God raising up individuals. And as the woman of God was declaring, that there's a sound coming through the voice, a unity of voices, that people are going to begin to say the same thing. There's going to be a unity that's going to flow. I believe that we're going to see an army of people that are not just going to be glory carriers, but they're going to be tabernacle walkers of the glory. Which means you're not going to have to go down the street to find a miracle from the healing man. You're not going to have to find a prophecy from what we call prophets, but I believe that they are more psychics. But let me get off of that, because that's another message. But what we're going to see now are people that are going to carry and walk in such a glory that you're going to demonstrate the power of God. And it's not going to be through one name or a group of people or a group of individuals. It's going to be a remnant. That, and like he said, it's not going to be a remnant that we don't use. It's going to be a remnant that has been set aside for such a time as this. And it won't be a particular color. It won't be a particular ethnic group. It is going to be a group of individuals that say, God, we want to know you. Oh, my God. We want to know you intimately. And so in order to know you intimately, we got to transition from the former glory so we can get to know who you are in the new glory, the latter glory. I'm afraid people who've been in church for a long time tend to think that they know all there is to know about God. And it's scary when you talk to people about how God moved, just like how God moved last night. I can share with someone and say, you know, God really moved last night, and he did this and he did that. And someone would tell me, well, I know that. We've seen the same thing. Matter of fact, we saw something greater than that. We saw blind eyes open. We saw this. And we saw. People love comparing and competing. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're coming into a point, but there is no point of reference for what God is going to do. We just want to experience it. And we want to know him like we've never known him before. Paul says that I may know him. He said, I don't know him. And this is the one that was had an experience with God already. He was knocked off of his beast and was in the desert having visitations from God. But yet Paul says, I don't know him. What Paul is saying is, I cannot know God based upon just my history alone. I have to know him in a way that I have never known him before. And people who have a history of God tend to not move to the next place in God. Wow, that's a load right by itself. That's why I like, when people come to our church, I appreciate the people that come from other churches. I'm thankful for that. But I have a greater appreciation for folks who haven't been to church. They're easier. They have no point of reference. So that all they want is God, and they want to know more about God. But folks who think they already know everything there is to know, you can't help them. But Paul says, I don't know him. And if we can admit, I really don't know him in this next way, but I really need to know him. Oh, God. But I really want to know him. Then I have to be willing to do something that I've never done before. I got to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. I want to know, are there anybody in this room this morning that is willing to press into a new glory, into another intensifying glory, because you want this glory to dwell in you? And you want to be a walking tabernacle of the glory of God. Someone shout, I really want the glory.
I really want the glory.
Now, do you really want it?
Yes.
do you really want it? Because I want to tell you, it's not because I'm here. It's because we are all here. That something was released on last night. Hallelujah. That will go with you to your separate abodes. You now will begin to experience an intensifying weight of glory. You will be a glory carrier, and you're going to be responsible of that glory that is coming on your life. Can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now, I want to share something, and it would have been more befitting if I taught it last night at his church. But I'm in this church, and I just got to go with God.
Amen.
All right? Isaiah 43:18. Isaiah 43:18. I was really trying to go somewhere else, and the Spirit of God just wouldn't let me get off of this. So I said, okay, all right, here I go again. So it would have been so much easier just to preach something that I already had. But here I am, and I can't hardly read my notes because my notes look like tongues, speaking in tongues. I write like a doctor. And I get so happy when I'm writing. I'm just, when I get a revelation, I'm just, so then I can't see what I'm saying. I'm like, ikatarabashatata. That's what it sounds like. That's what it looks like when I'm reading. But anyway, hopefully I can share everything that the Lord put in my spirit about this new thing. Someone shout, God's doing a new thing. Declare this, God is doing a new thing in me.
God is doing a new thing in me.
Amen, amen. Isaiah 43:18 says this, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of the old. Behold, I will do, hallelujah, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise. My praise. Remember ye not, verse 18, the former things, neither consider the things of the old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Someone shout, new thing.
New thing.
Now notice in the text, he did not say, I will do new things. I'm going to do a new thing. Singular. And the thing I'm going to do, and I'm going ahead of myself, I'm really doing this thing in you. I'm going to do a new thing. Now, I know prophetically this speaks of the future Messiah, Jesus Christ. But I want to bring it home to you prophetically, and I want to speak prophetically today, that God is doing a new thing. Not things, cars, material things. But the thing that He is doing is a thing in you that you've been longing for and waiting on and been in intensifying prayer and intercession and seeking God for, but you have not seen that thing yet. But that thing in you is still in you, longing to come forth, ready to spring forth, ready to come out of you, ready to manifest. That's the thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about that thing that has not happened yet, but yet is already in you. You already see it. You already feel it. You know it's about to happen. And you're long overdue for the thing, the new thing that God is going to do in your life. That's what God wants to release. That's the thing that God wants to bring forth. Now, when we read this particular text, you read the verse 39 chapters, Isaiah is a prophet that is called to deal with Israel's sins. There's been a separation, there's been a division, and he's dealing with the sins of the people in the 39 chapters because of the division, because of the separation. I don't want to get too far into all of this, but I have seen a separation, particularly in 2020, with the church. with black and white, and I'm not talking about just in the world, I'm talking about in the church. We saw a separation, people dividing from one another. This one don't want to talk to that one, that one don't want to be with that one. There was a dividing, tribes that were connecting, disconnecting from one another, wanting to be by themselves. I'll do it my way, you do it your way. And then we went from the color thing to the vaccination thing. And I don't want to get too far into that. You're going to hell for the vaccination, or you're not going, or you're going to hell because you did get vaccinated. And so we had this big fight on vaccination, and it made churches divide. And this is the same dilemma that Isaiah was dealing with as a prophet, that people were dividing. And he had to deal with the sins. And was giving them a warning that God is not pleased with this. Can I tell you that God is not pleased with how we, the church, have been acting? Because we, the church, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Government should be coming to us. We are the solutionists. Hallelujah. We solve the problems. We deal with the dilemmas of our world. And when the church gets out of place, God knows how to whoop you back into place. He whoops Israel back into place. He said, I'm going to whoop you. I'm going to discipline you. But even in all of that, I love that when you start reading from Isaiah 40 to Isaiah 66, you start dealing with a message of hope. Thank God for hope. Thank God that God will not allow me to end in disappointment or in disaster of the things that I've done wrong. Thank God that He still gives us hope. And I want to tell you that even in the midst of a hopeless situation, a hopeless economy, there is still hope for the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of hopelessness, there is hope for God's people, that God is saying in this moment, I am going to do something for you if you just hold on. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I want to tell you, people of God, morning is coming to the body of Christ. And so in Isaiah 43, verse 18, I love this first thing that he says was, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of the old. He says, I just don't want you to forget about the former things. I don't want you to have a memory of the old things that happened in your life. I want you to have amnesia. I don't want you to keep it in your memory bank, the former things of old. The things that you went through in your old church. The things that you went through with your family members. The things that you went through in your church or your job. Whatever it is, I want you to forget it. Because as long as you keep it in your memory bank, it'll stay as your focus. And you can't focus on anything else but what happened to you. You will never see the new thing until you get rid of the old thing. I love what Pastor Tom said. I'm going to use it. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to use your word. But the Bible says, pull down every thought and imagination. Pull it down. I love how he says it. The imagination is a nation of images. That you need to pull down a nation of images. Understanding that the reason why many people cannot move into the new thing is because they got a nation of images, of memories, that are attacking their future, that are attacking what God said he would do. The reason why you can't see it is because you can't forget it. The former things that should have been behind you by now. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of the old. Why? Behold. Now, behold means pay attention. Pay close attention. Look at it. Pay attention. Behold, I will do a new thing. Glory to God. He said, if you can let go of the former things, pay attention, something else is coming. Whatever you let go of, my God, something new is coming. Whatever you get out of your heart, something greater is coming to you. Whatever you let go of that happened to you that was traumatic, that brought anxiety to your life. Hallelujah. If you can remember it no more, then I am going to do a new thing. So I need you to pay attention. I need you to pay attention. See, whatever you pay attention to, that's what you owe. You got to be careful of what you are paying attention to. Because if you pay attention to your problem will always be in your sight. And you'll always owe it because you keep paying attention to it. But if you stop paying attention to the former things, behold, something greater. Something that you've been expecting, but you didn't think was going to happen. And can I tell you for my own self, ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you as sure as my name is Mark Dell Walker Jr., that things that have been prophesied over my life year after year, and I was frustrated because I did not see the manifestation of those prophetic words coming to pass. as soon as I let go of the former things and stop looking at the nightmare of my past and started looking toward the future of the hope that God had for me, things started manifesting. Prophetic words started coming to pass, and I am starting to live out the new thing. Can I prophesy? Can I prophesy and tell you, you will begin to live the new thing out? I said, you will begin to live the new thing out. My God. Is there anybody that's ready to start living life out loud? You're going to live life in high definition. My God. I'm not that old, but I do remember black and white TVs. And we were so broke that we didn't have the K or the E. We were just broke. That's how broke we were. And we didn't have cable, we had able. Whatever we were able to pick up. And so we had pliers, and we had to turn the TV with pliers. And you remember that? And we had rabbit ears. We had aluminum foil on the ears, and you had to turn it to make sure that it was black and white, and it would kind of go in it. And when it stays still, don't move it. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it, because we wanted to see whatever we're looking at in black and white. But God says, I want you to let go of that snow TV. Remember not that. I'm going to put your life in high definition. Oh my God. What I'm going to do now in your life, people are going to see something different. Because Revelations 21 says, and I hope I got it, it says, I will make all things, 21 and 5 says, I will make all things new. Can I tell you that God is saying, behold, I'm going to make all things new again? Here I am. I'm ready. I'm ready. God is doing something right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to do a what? Someone say new thing.
New thing.
Now, Pastor Tom, I'm not good like you and Brother Ray with your Greek and Hebrew words, how well y'all put them together, but I'm going to try to pronounce this word. But if I don't pronounce it right, you can correct me when I'm finished. But it's Hadash or Chadash. The word new is Hadash, which is, and it may not even be right, but it's C-H-A-D-A-S-H. It is Hadash. That word new is Hadash. Watch this. It means to repair or to renew. Let me say it again. It means to repair or to renew. Wait a minute. God says, I'm not doing a new thing the way you think I'm doing it. I'm actually doing a repair thing. I'm doing a renewed thing. Renew means to make new again. God. New in the dictionary means contemporary. English dictionary means contemporary. But new in the Hebrew and in the Greek actually means to repair or do again. Oh, God. So when God says, behold, pay attention, look at it, I'm getting ready to do again. Renew a thing in you. My God. Do you not know it? And it's going to spring forth in your life. In other words, I'm going to use your history as your testimony. You think the new thing is to get rid of your history and your story. No, no, no. God is going to use your story, your history, as the thing, my God, that is going to catapult your testimony, that when people see you and see where God brought you from, God, and where you have come from and where you are now, that testimony of what God has done is going to show that God can make all things new. Can I tell you that God is going to make all things new again in your life? He's going to repair the things that need to be repaired. He's going to renew the ideas that you let go of. He's going to renew the dream that was in you. You already had it. It's not a new dream. The dream has already been in you. It's not a new prophecy. The prophecy has already been in you. God's going to renew the contract. He's going to renew the prophecy that he spoke, the dream that you had years ago that you gave up on and thought, maybe I'm too old now. And I'm past the childbearing age, as Sarah said. But God has a way of renewing dead things and releasing the promise that you have let go of to tell you that you are going to live it again. And you're going to do again, my God, what was already in the mind of God. Even if you have not done it, you already did it in your mind. You already did it in your spirit. But it's just a matter of time that you get ready to see the manifestation of it happening in the world, happening in your life. Can I prophesy and tell you that God is renewing things right now? God is renewing covenants. God is renewing contracts. God is renewing, oh my God, old things, hallelujah, that you spoke of prophetically in your life, but you didn't see it happen. I prophesy you're going to see it now. You're going to see it. Why? Because I'm doing a new thing. Now, there is something called the kin, and I hope I can say this right. Some of y'all might know how to pronounce it better than me, but it's the Kintsugi Bow. The Kintsugi Bow. Maybe I'm not saying it right at all. I'm going to make it up then. Since you don't know what I'm talking about. I can make it up. Kintsugi Bow, or the Kintsugi Bow. It is a story of a Chinese, actually a proverb of a Chinese man who had a cup that had broke. It was his favorite cup, or favorite bowl that had broke. And he took it to the potter, to restore, to renew his broken bow, his favorite bow. And when he came back to see it, he said, "This is not the original bow." He said, "Yes, this is the original bow, but I had to do it and repair it differently." He said, "I had to seal the cracks with gold." He took a broken bowl, and what they say that the potter does is when they look at the broken bowl, they're actually looking at the pieces, not to see how it was broken, but to see what they can do with it next. They look at the broken pieces, not wondering who did this, but wondering what can be the next version. What can I renew this thing to be in its next phase? Oh, God. Can I tell you that when God is doing a new thing in your life, He is taking the old pieces of your life that have been shattered and broken by trials, by tribulations, by hurts, by disappointments. And he's not telling you to go back and tell me who did this to you. He's not concerned with that. He's taking those broken pieces of your life. And he says, I'm going to put it back together in a new way. It's not, I'm not going to discard it. I'm not going to get rid of it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it for my glory. Can I tell you that the new thing that God is going to do in you is he's going to take the pieces of you that were shattered by life and he's going to put them all together again. And he's going to make you, he's going to make you so new, so renewed, so different that people are not going to be able to identify, is that really you? Because you don't look like what broke you. You don't look like what shattered you. You don't look like what happened to you. You look different. You look like a new beginning. Glory. You look better than where you've been in the time in the history of your life. You look better now than you did before. Can I prophesy and tell you that you are going to look better than you've been before because God is going to renew you. And he's going to seal you. Gold represents divinity, which means God's divine presence is going to seal you. Do you not know that that bowl, which could have been a few dollars or so that he enjoyed, the value of it exceeded the price tag that was on it from the beginning? Which means what made the bowl more valuable was the story, was the history. And what it looked like now, it brought the value up and it became more valuable, more appreciative, more, my God, extravagant. Can I tell you the new thing that God is going to do in you is the more. And people are going to be amazed because they're going to say, how in the world did God do all of that for them? They don't deserve that. They don't even look like what I expected them to look like. But God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And it doesn't matter what you think. I just raised the price tag up on you. Pastor Tom knows about this. If you take an old car and you renew it, the value of that car can be way more. I've seen cars be renewed and it can go up to $100,000 or more to get a renewed car that no one else have. Now that car was only probably about $2,000, $3,000 back in the day, but now it's worth $100,000. Why? Because it's been renewed and restored. And it doesn't lose its value because it's in another day. It actually, its value goes up in another day. Because of what it's been through in the past and where it's been and now where it's at now, where it's going. Can I tell you that God is going to raise your value up because of what he's going to do in you? There's no one else like you. There's no other ministry like you. That's why we don't need all Fords, all Teslas, all Mercedes, all Hondas, all, I don't know what kind of cars y'all drive here. We need you to be your authentic self. Because when God renews you, he's going to use you in a class all by yourself. Nobody's going to be able to duplicate you. Because what God is going to do in you is a new thing. It's a repair thing. And so God says, I am renewing in this season the old things that you thought was over in your life. That thing is being renewed, and the value and the price tag just went up. Ladies and gentlemen, your trials meant something. Your pain meant something. Your tears meant something. Your disappointment meant something. My God. Your lonely nights meant something. Oh, my God. It wasn't that the devil was getting the glory. God was getting the glory all of the time. And can I tell you, what the enemy meant for bad, Joseph said, God made it good. Can I tell you, what you have been through, God is going to make it good. I'm about to have a shout fit all by myself. Is there anybody in this room, I got to hurry up, that believe that God is going to make everything new in your life, and it starts right now? Someone shout, do it, Lord. He says, I will make ways in the wilderness and even in the desert. And then in verse 21, he said, and this people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise. What he is saying here is, after I do this new thing, I am going to cause my people that I have formed, fashioned, made for myself to show forth their praise. He says, the new thing, the repair thing that I'm doing in you was all about me forming you and shaping you for my purpose. For myself, so you can show forth my praise. My God. When people see how broken you... Hallelujah. I don't want to go too far into my own life, but I love when people come to me and they say, how you doing? Are you all right? Because they think I'm shattered. I'm not shattered. I'm being renewed. I'm not totally there yet, but I'm being renewed daily. Y'all don't hear me here. You're not looking at a broken vessel. You're looking at a renewed vessel that is moving in a new beginning. Oh, God. That is going to show forth his praise, not for myself, but for him. And God says, if I can take your brokenness and your weakness and your hurt and use it to form you for myself, that you would give me a praise. See, there's something about a broken worshiper and a person that has been through hell and high water. When they praise God, they don't need music to praise him. They don't need drums to praise him. They don't need other people to help them praise him. When I start praising God, I don't need anything to help me get there. When I start thinking about all that he has done for me, I start giving him all the praise. Oh, hallelujah. I want to know, is there anybody in this room right now this morning that can say, I'm closing, that can say, Lord, I'm praising you for my new beginning. I'm praising you for the new thing that you're doing in me. I thought it was the thing that I thought was new was something that I never seen. But I didn't know that the new thing was something that I thought was discarded and done with. God said, no, I'm using it. Hallelujah. And can I tell you, man of God, that God had to call your ministry a new beginning. Hallelujah. Because when you felt discarded and broken and shattered, God said, I'm renewing it to use it as a new beginning. I'm not trying to get rid of the... Oh, God. I'm not trying to get rid of the pieces. I'm renewing the pieces. My God. Because the version of you in this season is going to be far greater than the other version. He's not just making you a cup. He's making you a cup of gold. I got it. Let me close this. Let me hurry up. The Hebrew, y'all remember the three Hebrew boys that we say? You remember the three Hebrew boys? Well, they were Hebrew men. It said three Hebrew men. It didn't say three Hebrew boys. because boys can't go through fire. Immaturity can't go through fire. Only men can. You got to be mature to go through fire. The Bible said they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And when they looked to see where they burned up, they said, wait a minute, I see four walking loose. And one looks like the Son of God. He said, wait a minute, what? Let them out. They came out. When they came out of the fire, you would have thought the fire would destroy them, would have took them out. But the fire was used to burn off what was on them. What they came in shackled, but came out loose. Can I tell you that life can put stuff on you that is not you? But when the fire comes, it takes the stuff off of you that you don't need. And when you come out loose. When they came out, oh God, the king says they must be promoted. They all got promoted and in a bigger position after the fire. After your storm. After your sickness. After your pain. God says, I'm going to promote you. The promotion comes because you did not die in it. You made it through it. And now that you made it through it, I'm going to do a new thing and a new beginning. And it starts right now. I need everybody to praise God right now for a new beginning. Praise God right now for a new beginning. Hallelujah. 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 Old things pass away, and all things become new. God says, I will make all things new. We're going to pray. But I just want to say this. I wrote this down. God said, I'll make all things new. He didn't say, I make all things. I don't make all new things. Let me read it again. God makes all things. He says, I make all things new. He didn't say, I make all new things. I make all things new. He didn't say, I make all new things. I just renew. So when God says, let there be, and it was, he never had to go back and say, you know what, I forgot something. So let me recreate some more. No, everything he said is here. Everything you need is here. So he doesn't have to recreate. He just has to get you to a place where you're ready to receive what's yours. And if he has to evict someone out of your space, that's yours. I'm going to make all things new, and I'm going to put you in spaces, Jabez, that you prayed about. Enlarge my territory. You didn't receive it, but now you're ready to walk in it now. I'm not giving new space. I'm making all things new for you, which means if I got to put the property on sale for you, it's yours. You're getting to move in places and spaces you can't afford. You're getting to see, I got to stop. You're getting to see the beginnings of what has been in your spirit long overdue. And you're going to see it happening and manifesting in this season right now. Someone shout, I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for it.
Brother Tom, Dr. Tom, you could do it better than me with this text. You could take it to another level. But I want to pray right now for those who are ready to enter into a new beginning. You ready for God to renew and restore and do a new thing inside of you. I want you right now to lift your hands to heaven. And I want you to decree this by faith right now. Say, God, I'm ready.
God,
For the new thing.
For the new thing.
I'm forgetting those old things that happened to me. I'm letting it go.
I
remember it no more.
Now,
God, I'm ready
for a new thing,
for renewed thing,
for repaired
thing, for restored thing,
for a new beginning.
I'm ready for it now. I'm ready to see ways being made.
I'm ready to see ways being made
out of no way for me.
And I will show forth your praise
in the earth
right now
in Jesus' name.
Come on, let's practice that right now
and give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah.